Good evening. What a blessing to be once again together worshiping the Lord. And it has been a wonderful day. Many blessings from the very beginning and enjoying His presence in every moment. And I would like to share with you something from God's Word in the book of Matthew, following some of the thoughts of yesterday, Matthew chapter 4. And I would like to read the text in chapter 4, verse 18. A precious portion of the scriptures, and it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria." The Lord bless his wonderful word in our hearts. I would like to share with you some thoughts about following Jesus, like we talked about yesterday. And we see how the Lord called these two men, and they just followed the Lord. It was immediate obedience. As soon as they heard the Lord calling, they immediately left what they were doing. In this passage, we see Simon, Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the nets, and James and his brother mending their nets. And there was the same calling, follow me. And there was the same responsive obedience. And the obedience was immediately. They did not delay or make excuses. They left everything at once. Obedience is the act of listening, to submitting to and carrying out the instructions, the commands, or guidance of our authority. Obedience is aligning our will with God's will. It means trusting Him enough to act on His word, even when it seems difficult or ordinary. True obedience flows out of love, faith, and reverence to God. The Lord said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Faith in the unknown, obedience. They did not know where the path would lead, but they trust the one who called them. It was just obedience. The Lord just called them and said, "Follow me." And they immediately respond and say, "Yes, I will follow the Lord. I will obey to his calling." What they are doing is just to trusting in the Lord. They did not know the path. They did not know the future. They didn't know what
was going ahead, but they trust in him with all his heart. It's like the Bible says, command thy ways unto the Lord, trust in him. What is trust? Have you thought what it is trust? I explain this in a very simple way. My family, we visit one time Gettysburg. And I think I explained that one time here. But we visit Gettysburg and we went to Little Round Top. Our two daughters, Irene and Elizabeth, they were 8 and 6 years old. And I took Irene and I put it upon the rock, very high. And I said to Irene, Irene, jump. And thinking that she was not going to jump because it was high place. But she just went flying. And I was there just to cut her. And we were with a friend of us. And at that moment, they took a picture of that. And they developed the picture. And in the following week, they gave us the picture. And in the picture is a very nice picture. You can see my daughter just flying, and I am with the hands like that. At the back of the picture, they wrote, "This is faith." So simple. The command of a father saying, jump, and a little girl trusting in his father, just jumping, because his father is going to hold her. He's going to provide protection. He's going to provide love. He knows that he has the strength enough to hold when she is going to put his trust in the hands of his father. This is trust in the Bible. So simple. I'm going to trust in the Lord immediately. Elizabeth, our daughter, she is another way. I said to her, jump, and she needs to touch before she jumps. Irene just flies. Elizabeth, she needs to touch my hand but she does it. Trust in his father in a different way, but obeys the command. Jesus went through Galilee and saw two brothers and two other brothers. And it was a calling immediately saying, you need to trust in me, follow me. And they immediately left what they have and say, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Faith is not about knowing every step. It's about trusting God with the next step. Like Abraham, who went out not knowing where he was going. We too are called to walk by faith. There is a Christian friend, a missionary, whose name is Brian Trenopole, a dear friend. He really always plans things ahead of time. I'm not planning many things ahead of time. But one time we were in Olot, and I took a trip to Barcelona. And I said, Brian, would you like to come with me? He said, yes, I would like to come. I'm going to go to the Christian library. What time? Maybe 9 o'clock. And he just began to do questions. Where are we going to park? I don't know. What are we going to have for lunch? I don't know. And everything was, I don't know. Finally, I said, Brian, let's go. You need to trust. We will park somewhere. We'll have some lunch. We don't know at the time we are going back, but just let's go. Let's go. And he needed to trust. And I thought, maybe I'm that way sometimes when the Lord calls me, Lord, where? How? The questions of life. And Jesus was saying to them, you need to trust in me. God does not reveal the whole map. Instead, he asks for daily obedience. Each step of trust unfolds the bigger picture. The security is not the path, but in the person. We are not secure by the path. We are secure by the person who makes the path. The disciples left the net, boats, and even family ties because they discovered something greater, the presence of Jesus. When I wrote that, I thought, yes, they left everything because they wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. There are several things in my life that I really are very dear to me. And one of those is just the peace of God and the presence of the Lord. To have the peace of God that rules all our understanding, to be governed by the peace of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. In fact, when somebody dies, we have that. He has went to be in the presence of the Lord. But we can enjoy the presence of the Lord in the way we are living our lives, trusting in Him. And following Jesus began with simple and daily obedience. And we obey the Lord in the ordinary things. There are ordinary things and extraordinary things. But when you think about the Christian life, almost everything just is ordinary. You wake up in the morning in an ordinary day, and you just read your Bible. And God is not going to ask you any extraordinary thing. He will ask you to live in your ordinary life and just walk with Him as you go for work, study, going to church. God, in the Bible, many times you see that He is asking for ordinary things. Remember, Israel, the people in Israel, for 40 years, they were going every morning in an ordinary day to pick up food, which was an extraordinary thing. It's like we are living our Christian life in a very ordinary way in obedience and making an ordinary day extraordinary day. And you see in verse 23 that when Jesus went about all Galilee, and He began to do three things. He began to teach in the synagogues, preaching the gospel, and healing the sick. The Lord took those men that they will follow Him and they will become disciples and learn before they do. And the Lord began to teach in the synagogues. You can imagine the picture to be in the presence of the Lord and to hear the teachings of the Lord. He was instructing them truth. Jesus was correcting religion, confusion, and brought clarity. And the disciples were listening before they needed to speak. They were learning from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was teaching in the synagogues as He was His every Saturday He went to the synagogue and He was teaching, and the disciples were listening what they needed to do before they went to be fishers of men. And they were preaching, He was preaching the gospel. He was bringing hope, not just information, but the proclamation of a good news. And also in the verse it says that He was healing the sick, compassion. He had three things: teaching for the mind, preaching for the heart, and healing for the body. That was our Lord. He was going into the lives and trying to bring light, trying to bring hope and healing. In our ministry, our last Friday of every month, we go to Barcelona City. It's 40 minutes driving. We go to a place where it's called Evangelica Mission, one of the worst streets in Barcelona City. The worst street. It's called Calle Robados. It's just in the middle of the of the Barcelona city. You could not imagine what you can see there. Every time I go there, it breaks my heart, really. It takes me maybe 3 days just to recover myself of seeing people, just broken people, completely broken. Only what they have is just a bag. Their faces are just with sadness, some with bitterness, scars in the body, in the mind, in the hearts. And we go there, and we just, our church, we go every month there. We prepare the food, and they come 30. We feed them 30, and after that, another 30. But we go there with these three things: to teach, to preach, and to try to bring healing. I have experienced just to put my hands on a man, serving him just a glass of water. And look at that man, he was almost crying. He was like saying, I have never been embraced by a person. Do you imagine that? What is the hope of this world? The hope of this world is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is preaching the gospel, the good news. You can be changed by the power of the blood of Christ. And we try to preach to them. And every time we preach to them, you could see them in their faces. They are trying to understand, what kind of man is this that can change my life? His name is Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ was doing that kind of ministry. He was touching people's life, trying to bring light, trying to bring hope to them and healing to them. The disciples were seeing these things. They were seeing that power in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at what he's saying in verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria. The attraction was not the fisherman, was the master. His fame spread because of his power. The call was pointed to him. He was the center, like I was playing last Sunday. That it was the center of the Lord. Jesus Christ was the center. In Madrid, our capital in Spain, there is a nice place. It's called Kilometro Cero, Kilometer Zero. It's on the floor of the center of Madrid, where all the roads go from that place. And many people go there to take a picture. And you put your feet there and take your camera, and you take a picture in Kilometro Cero. All the roads of Spain go from that point. And it's the same. All the truth comes from the person of Christ, and his fame was so powerful that many people were coming from all kinds of regions to see his teaching, to hear his preaching, and to touch the Lord. And his fame was everywhere. And I would like to just to read to you something that maybe it will give us an idea. It says this: this Jesus of Nazareth, without money or weapons, conquered more millions than Alexander, Caesar, Mohammed, or Napoleon. He shed more light on the divine and the human than all philosophers and scholars combined. Without the eloquence of schools, he spoke words of life as never before or since. Without writing a single line, his words inspired sermons, prayers, works of art, and hymns, gathering an army without soldiers. Millions of hearts surrendered to his love. From the day of his resurrection, multitudes passed from death to life, and the hope of beholding him
one day compels them still to embrace the calling they receive, to follow him with undivided hearts, becoming fishers of men, just as he promised. And even now his call resounds, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Just closing, Jesus trains us to fish his way with obedience in the small things, with his teaching that equips us, and with the power of his name that changes lives. That's the Lord. What a wonderful experience to see the Lord, how he was working and calling to his disciple, come to me and I will teach you. And they were listening his teaching, seeing the power of the preaching. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this that he's able just with words to change everything? The storms, just with one word, come down, and the sea was coming down. With one word, taking demons from persons. With one word, giving sight to a blind man. With one word, saying, Lazarus, and he came out from the dead. With one word, Jesus can change completely a man's direction. With one word. And that word is, I love you, and I love you, and I will die for you and give my life to you. Follow me. It's been a pleasure as Christians just to follow the Lord and to be under his guidance. Lord, teach me. Teach me. Make me like you. The Lord said, come and teach. Let me teach you. Learn from me that I am a humble, and stay humble. And the Lord has really blessed us as we walk in with him, trusting the Lord, loving the way, and knowing that his plans are ordained and provided according to his will. May the Lord bless you as you walk with him. Amen.